السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. ألم نشرح لك صدرك ووضعنا عنك وزرك الذي أنقض ظهرك ورفعنا لك ذكرك. فإن مع العسر يسرا إن مع العسر يسرا فإذا فرغت فانصب وإلى ربك فارغب. قال الله تعالى في الفرقان الحميد: إنما المؤمنون إخوة فأصلحوا بين أخويكم واتقوا الله لعلكم ترحمون. صدق الله العظيم. اللهم صل وسلم على سيدنا محمد وآله. My noble audience, after a two-week break from our main topic, we return to the topic that we have been discussing for many, many months. And basically, the topic that we are trying to discuss is the laws pertaining to our social structure, the ethics and the adab. 2 weeks ago, I made mention of two ahadith that I would like to relate once again so we can connect to our foundation. So the first hadith is the entry level hadith pertaining to this topic, and basically Imam Bukhari has recorded this on the authority of Hazrat Abdullah ibn Amr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And this is a hadith that is well known to many, many Muslim brothers and sisters. The Nabi of Allah says, Al-Muslimu man salim al-Muslimuna min lisanihi wa yadih, wal-muhajiru man hajra manaha Allahu an. And we will only try to focus upon the first half of this narrative. Nabi Akram Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, a Muslim, man salim al-Muslimuna, is that person from whose tongue and hand other Muslims are safe. Now this is the entry level. As we all know that when it comes to faith, there are two terminologies that we are well versed with. One is a Muslim, and the second terminology is mu'min. And basically the fine difference between them is, a mu'min is that person that practices what he believes in. And it is not necessary that a Muslim practice. He believes in it, but he may not be practicing it. Allah ko maan liya, Allah ki nahi maani. Allah ko maan liya, Allah ki nahi maani, wo Musliman. That he accepts Allah and the laws given by Allah, but he has not reached that station where he is practicing, he is a Muslim. And a mu'min is the one that believes and practices. So from this fine definition, we have understood that mu'min is a higher level than Muslim. So the entry level is that Muslims are safeguarded from the harm of the tongue and the hand. But the second hadith that I would like to attach to the first, and basically then we will construct our argument upon these two ahadith, has been recorded by Imam al-Nasa'i on the authority of Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala an, in which Nabi Akram Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Al-mu'min man aminahu an-nas ala dima'ihim wa amwalihim. Al-mu'min man aminahu an-nas ala dima'ihim wa amwalihim. A mu'min is that person that humanity is safe in relation to their properties and their life. And that is the highest level. So we start off from one level, but our goal and our aim is the highest podium. And that is that every single human being around us should be safe. And not only safe, he should feel safe from the wrong that we can commit. And it can be from the lowest level to the highest level. It can be the parking in the neighborhood. It can be the parking in the neighborhood. It can be raising our voice in the month of Ramadan at the time of Tarawih. So there are so many facets that fall under this, so many departments that fall under this. So in relation to these two ahadith, we made mention that I will not relate once again, but I will touch upon it so you can reconnect the understanding of Imam Ghazali rahimahullah, that there are three kinds of animals in the animal kingdom, and basically the laws of Islam come so we can sustain the podium of insaniyat. Allah has granted us the honor of being a human being. So Islam comes so we do not drop below that podium. And then the laws arrive so we can blossom as human beings. And then when we depart this dunya, we can be on a podium that is greater than the podium of the malaika. And that is the philosophy of Islam. In a nutshell, that is the philosophy of Islam. Now, today in the short time that we have, I would like to make mention of a few things so we get more clarity to this. There is no doubt that for many, many years, the focus of the community is more on rituals than the social structure. And many a times we do uphold the rituals and the ibadat, but in doing that we trample over the laws pertaining to our social structure. And we should understand as believers that we should live a balanced life, a complete life, where we uphold all laws without trampling upon other laws. So it is an understood fact that if there is a clash between something that is optional, and I would like you to remember this, if there is a clash, and I will further elaborate upon this, if there is a clash between something that is optional with a law that is pertaining to our social structure, the laws pertaining to the social structure will take preference. For example, Nabi Akram Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba and our Rabbaniyin and Awliya and predecessors have shown us by example and have taught us verbally the importance of coming to the masjid and establishing salah in congregation. No one can forget that moment where the Nabi of Allah was very, very ill. He could not carry his body weight. But despite being in that poor condition, he dragged himself with the support of two Sahaba on his right and left and made it to the masjid. So this physical demonstration by the Nabi of Allah gives us an insight to the importance of establishing salah in congregation for men. And in the light of this practice and demonstration, and many, many narratives, there's a difference of opinion amongst the scholars. A few scholars are of this opinion that the establishment of jama'ah, or praying in jama'ah, is sunnate mu'akkida. And many ulama are of this opinion, in the light of what has been said and done, they are of this opinion that the establishment of salah in jama'ah for men is wajib. And as we know that forsaking and giving up a wajib without a strong reason is a crime. Now we're not talking about something that is optional. We're talking about something that is sunnat mu'akkida, the highest level of something being optional, or according to the view of many, wajib, that surpasses the realm of optional and enters the realm of being compulsory. And the lowest level of being compulsory is wajib. I hope I could relate that. Now the fuqaha, the Muslim jurist, in the light of many, many narratives and practices, I have given this ruling, and it is unanimous that if a person has a condition an ailment that is disturbing to the congregation, it is wrong for him to come to the masjid. It is wrong for him to come to the masjid because he's going to disturb the congregation. He's going to disturb the congregation. The fuqaha, the ruling, the fatwa will be you pray at home. So Islam has given us this understanding that when it comes to the social structure, we will give preference to that over that is optional. We give preference, ahmiyat, to that is from the social structure. So you can study the books, you can inquire from the ulama, the muftis, they will say that, look, if you have a condition where you are coughing too much and you are disturbing the congregation, or you have a rare skin disease that is disturbing, don't come to the masjid. And in the light of that, Imam Malik rahimahullah says that taking a bath on Jumu'ah is compulsory. His understanding is that taking a bath on Jumu'ah is compulsory. And the reason behind that is that 1400 years ago in Arabia, there was a shortage of water. So many a times when they used to come on Jumu'ah, there used to be a very, very inflated crowd, a humongous crowd. It was very, very hot. People used to sweat. The smell, the odor used to be disturbing. To address that, the Nabi of Allah said that you should take a bath. So when you are standing beside your brother, it does not disturb him. The same law can be applied after taking afdari and standing in Salatul Taraweeh and burping. See, this is the social aspects. That in that one burp, the person standing beside knows what this person has consumed. The entire cuisine and platter is in front of him in that one burp. Now this is against Islam. This is against the laws of Islam. This is against the social structure. This is disturbing it. This is weakening it. So if the fuqaha say that don't come to the masjid because you are going to disturb your brother, from this alone we can understand the ahmiyat of being that embodiment where people feel safe. When we study the optional salats, the prayers, we know Salatul Ishraq, Salatul Dhuha, Salatul Awwabin, Salatul Tahajjud, the nocturnal prayer. The night prayer is the most mightiest prayer when it comes to the optional prayers. It is the mightiest prayer. There is no prayer that can touch its merit. Everyone knows that out of the optional prayers. But Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha says that when the Nabi of Allah used to wake up to establish the tahajjud prayer, he used to wake up in a manner that did not create any commotion. He used to open the door, close the door, dismount himself from the bed, make wudu, whatever he used to do, it used to be in a manner that was not disturbing Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha. This is a sunnah. This is a sunnah. These are guidelines pertaining to our social structure. Because the establishment of tahajjud is a nafl. Indeed, a very important nafl, but it is a nafl. So the Nabi of Allah did not disturb the wives. He did not disturb the wives. If they did not want to pray for whatever reason it may be, he did not disturb them. I have related this story many, many years ago, maybe 2-3 years ago, that the very famous cricketer for South Africa that is playing even nowadays, Hashim Amla, his roommate was Graham Smith, who was the captain of South Africa for many, many years. He was the captain for South Africa for many, many years. So they were roommates. And as you know, that cricketers, they are out of their country for many, many months. Maybe 6 months, 7 months, without their family, outside their country, touring different countries, playing, so on and so forth. Now Allah reward Hashim Amla Sahab, very pious person. So he used to establish tahajjud. He used to establish tahajjud. His roommate was Graham Smith. He used to establish tahajjud. But Graham Smith never knew that he used to wake up. Never. For many, many years. I don't remember the fine details, but I believe it was India. They were touring India, and they were in a muhalla where the azan was given or something like that. And at that time, Graham Smith realized that people wake up for tahajjud. And people establish tahajjud prayer. But I've been sleeping with this guy, yeah, in the same room for the last 5-6 years. He doesn't pray tahajjud. So he inquired from Hashim Amla, and he said, look, you've been with me the 5-6 years. You're a very religious person. Why don't you pray the night prayer? Then he revealed, I have. But I used to wake up, clean myself, make wudu in a manner that was not disturbing to you. Now you think about it. Two scenarios. One, waking up, making a lot of noise, disturbing him, and making him swear at you that he has disturbed me. Will this have a profound impact? Or the second scenario, that for 5 years he did not disturb him, and now after 5 years he realizes that, wow, this person used to pray, but he was so considerate. This is the beauty of the social structure. This is the beauty of the adab of Islam. The adab of Islam. We go to Hajj for Umrah. Allah make us a frequent visitor of the noble sanctuaries. Hajar Aswad. I'm giving you a few fine points, examples that you can remember. So I've spoken about the Jama'ah, I've spoken about the Hajjud, now I'm speaking about Hajar Aswad. Everyone has a goal in his mind that when I go to perform Umrah and Hajj, I will try to find a quiet time where I can go and kiss Hajar Aswad. Now the scholars, unanimously, they have made mention that if you go to kiss Hajri Aswad, your sins drop. So when you kiss Hajri Aswad, you return back pure, in the state of purity. So one person spends thousands, he travels 18 hours, flight time, he makes it to Saudi, he's standing in front of the Kaaba, he has heard and he has read about the Hajri Aswad. He has read about the fazilat of Hajri Aswad. But he sees a large group of people making tawaf. So he looks. Now the only way he can make it there is by pushing. What did the ulama say? It is wrong for you to kiss the Hajri Aswad. It is wrong for you to kiss the Hajri Aswad because you're going to push people. Think about it. I don't think so. There's a better example than this. It's wrong for you to go and kiss the Hajri Aswad. I was making tawaf. It was, and this is for the men. Think about the women. The hijab is compulsory. They forsake the hijab to kiss the Hajri Aswad. So there was a short lady. Me and a few brothers, I think it was Brother Zaid Rain and Brother Farid. We were doing Hajj together. And Brother Zaid Rain, mashallah, very strong, standing in front of me and Brother Farid. So he was our guard. And suddenly I realized that something, my ihram is moving from the bottom, between my legs. I said, what is this? And suddenly a lady emerged. A lady emerged from my ihram. Now don't travel too far with that. But a lady emerged from there, and I'm looking, what is this? And she was between me and Brother Farid. And it was like a, you know, sardines. And right in front of us, and this is the Kaaba. And we are waiting in our line to kiss the Hajri Aswad. And she's right in between. Now think about it. She came so far because she did not understand the mizaj of Islam. She was only looking at one thing, that I want to kiss the Hajar Aswad. It doesn't matter how many ahkamat of Allah I trample over. Kitne hukm usne tore. Allah reward her. But how many deeds, how many ahkamat she broke to make it to the Hajar Aswad. So Islam says, look, that was optional. Kissing the Hajar Aswad is optional. But pushing your brothers and pushing your sisters, this is haram. And on the day of judgment, if one person didn't kiss the Hajar Aswad and one person kissed the Hajar Aswad, the person that didn't kiss the Hajar Aswad, there is compensation for him known as istilam. You make istilam, you touch like this. At least there is no sin against him. He has brought a better package. And that person that pushed, hurt the feelings of another, when he arrives with the kiss of the Hajar Aswad as a reward, as a deed, on the other hand, he will have a kabira guna, a mighty sin in his account. And most probably the reward of that kissing of Hajar Aswad will not be strong enough to erase the entire package of sin. So that's why the scholars say we have to have an understanding of deen. A full understanding. Overall understanding. Don't focus upon one thing. We have to focus upon everything. And that's why Allah reward the ulama. That their understanding of deen is very, very deep and profound. And many a times we find people speaking, and Allah reward them for their speaking. They're very, very sincere. But they don't have that deep, rich, profound understanding. And that's why they falter. That's why they falter. I would like to make mention, we've run out of time. So we're back on that 120. So for the last 2 weeks we have been passing the time because it was holidays. Alright, but we are going to try to finish at 120 and establish our prayer at 130. Because people have to go back to work. But to encapsulate what we have spoken about, that whenever there is a clash between the nafl and the adab of our social structure, we will give preference to the adab of our social structure. And then I gave a few examples. The first example is establishing salah in congregation. If a person does, but he disturbs the congregation, it is the understanding of the fuqaha, this person should pray at home. Shouldn't come to the mosque. He has a condition, he has an ailment, he has a cough, continuous cough, pray at home. Recover, then return. We gave another example of the tahajjud prayer, the nocturnal prayer, that if a person, when the Nabi of Allah used to wake up, he used to wake up in a manner that did not disturb anyone. He did not disturb anyone. These are the adab of how to live with people. I gave the third example of the Hajar Aswad, and I don't believe that you will forget it, because there was an emergence of a person through my ihram. So you remember that for the rest of your life. But even the scholars have said, don't kiss the Hajar Aswad at a distance. Make salam to the Hajar Aswad. Allah Rabbul Izzat give us a complete understanding of deen and allow us to uphold all laws simultaneously of Islam. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Keep in mind, the day of Jumu'ah is the day of salutations. Try to send durood upon the Nabi of Allah in abundance. Try to send durood upon the Nabi of Allah in abundance. Kaisal Rihani is 30 years old and has cancer. So the family members have requested that we make dua that Allah grant Kaisal Rihani shifa ikamila ajila, and the family sabr jameel. donate with generosity. Keep in mind, once the khutbah starts, when I stand on the pulpit and start to deliver the Arabic khutbah, it is preferred not to speak, not to return the salam, not to make any gestures. So it is better that when the imam is giving the Arabic khutbah from the pulpit, that people just come inside and sit at a place that they find appropriate. But no salam, no dua, no smiling at each other. If even anyone is making a mistake, don't reprimand him. Jazakum.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. أشهد أن محمد رسول الله. أشهد أن محمد رسول الله. حي على الصلاة. Hayya ala salah. Hayya ala falah. Hayya ala falah. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. La ilaha illallah.
La ilaha illallah. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. Aliyyil dhati, azimis sifati, samiyyis simati, kabiris shan, جليل القدر رفيع الذكر مطاع الأمر جلي البرهان فخيم الاسم غزير العلم وسيع الحلم كثير الغفران جميل الثناء جزيل العطاء مجيب الدعاء عميم الإحسان سريع الحساب شديد العقاب أليم العذاب عزيز السلطان. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له في الخلق والأمر. ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله المبعوث إلى الأسود والأحمر المنعوث بشرح الصدر ورفع الذكر. وصلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه الذين هم خلاصة العرب العربة وخير الخلائق بعد الأنبياء. أما بعد، فيا أيها الناس وحدوا الله فإن التوحيد رأس الطاعات، واتقوا الله فإن التقوى ملاك الحسنات، وعليكم بالسنة فإن السنة تهدي إلى الإطاعة، ومن أطاع الله ورسوله فقد رشد واهتدى، وإياكم والبدعة فإن البدعة تهدي إلى المعصية، ومن يعص الله ورسوله فقد ضل وغوى، وعليكم بالصدق فإن الصدق ينجي والكذب يهلك، وعليكم بالإحسان فإن الله يحب المحسنين، ولا تقنطوا من رحمة الله فإنه أرحم الراحمين، ولا تحبوا الدنيا فتكونوا من الخاسرين. الخاسرين ألا وإن نفسا لن تموت حتى تستكمل رزقها فاتقوا الله وأجملوا في الطلب وتوكلوا عليه فإن الله يحب المتوكلين وادعوه فإن ربكم مجيب الداعين واستغفروه يمددكم بأموال وبنين أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وقال ربكم ادعوني أستجب لكم إن الذين يستكبرون عن عبادتي سيدخلون جهنم داخرين بارك الله لنا ولكم في القرآن العظيم ونفعنا وإياكم بالآيات والذكر الحكيم أستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم يا الله كرم فرما يا الله رحم يا الله رحم Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu wa man yudlilhu fala hadiya lahu wa nashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu wa nashhadu anna muhammadan 'abduhu wa rasuluh arsalahu bil haqqi bashiran wa nadhira bayna yaday as-sa'ah man yuti'illah wa rasulahu faqad rashada wahtada wa man ya'sillah والرسول فإنه لا يضر إلا نفسه ولا يضر الله شيئا أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم فإذا قضيت الصلاة فانتشروا في الأرض وابتغوا من فضل الله واذكروا الله كثيرا لعلكم تفلحون وإذا رأوا تجارة أو لهوا انفضوا إليها وتركوك قائما كل ما عند الله خير من اللهو ومن التجارة والله خير الرازقين يا أيها إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على محمد عبدك ورسولك وصل على المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات وبارك على محمد وأزواجه وذريته إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون فاذكروني أذكركم واشكروا لي ولا تكفرون استووا واعتدلوا Line should be straight.